Good morning, everyone. So we are going to do Q&A day today. I am coming to you sans all the makeup today. we have an online wedding that we are going to be attending at 2 o'clock today. Logan is the he's the maid of honor. He's the best man. And so I didn't want to put my makeup on because I'm going to be wearing a dress, and it's one of those that comes over your face. And I wear way too much home makeup to be trying to take off and on clothes with makeup. So I was like, you guys are going to get the showered, lotioned, extremely hydrated version of me, but not makeup version. So I can always recover my hair, but I can't. It's hard to get the makeup stains out of clothes once they get all around the neck. So, but it's interesting. I am excited to see my, if y'all don't know, my husband, he was raised by his stepfather and mother, and they were married for about 25 years, and they separated quite a few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And then they finalized their divorce last year, but they just had some other reasons why they hadn't done the divorce. They were never going to get back together, but they just, you know, it wasn't in the cards to get the divorce at the time. They had some other stuff they had to take care of. Well, anyway, so since then, my stepfather has found someone, and a really nice lady, and we like her and all the things. And Richard is very close to Logan. Always has been. He has been the grandfather. I mean, you would never know that Richard was not blood related to Chris or to Logan. He has just always, and Logan was his baby because he didn't have his own children. And when Logan came along, he just like fell in love with the child. And so they're really close, even since the divorce and everything. They have a standing Monday night date where every Monday they have talked for years now. And they tell stories, and Logan and him have been telling these stories about Horror Castle. It's called the Horror Castle story. And they have this thing called the Walker Ross stories. Like, they have these elaborate stories they tell, and they've been doing that for years. And every Monday night, Richard calls like clockwork, and they talk for 2 to 3 hours. That's the one night Logan's allowed to stay up. He runs restaurants, so Monday night's the best night he can call. Oh, hang on. My little heater thing kicked on. That thing is loud. But anyway, they've been doing that for years. And so he's getting married today. We were supposed to go to Union City for the wedding in May, but given everything that's going on, they just decided to move it up and do it online on Zoom. And so we're going to do that today, and that'll be fun. And so we're all getting dressed up, and that's it too. So it'll be cool. And then Logan's basically getting new little, I guess they're cousins. We're going to call them cousins, but he's excited. So, you know, Logan, he gets excited about all the things. So today is Q&A day, and that means that we are going to talk anything that you guys have to ask. So especially for the newbies, if you have questions, all you have to do is type in hashtag ask, and then that will mean that whoever is on the call that's populating the questions for me, they'll be able to find them easy. You do not have to use hashtag ask outside of the live calls, but we do ask you to use them just in live calls only because it makes it easier for us to be able to tell when you want to ask me a question versus when you're just asking each other questions. And then Mary Jo or Missy, Heidi, Kathy, Betsy, MJ, whoever's on my call, somebody is always assigned the call, and they populate it for me on my computer so that I don't have to do all that scrolling and looking and trying to figure it out. And for all the newbies, let me just tell you a few things while we get some, let me make sure there aren't any questions I need, because I tend to go long. So I will warn all newbies. I am long-winded. I go usually very long. I try to answer as many questions as I can, but I'm going to watch because I don't want to get to do too much filler and then end up like what I normally do, which is like go even longer and longer and longer and longer. Let me tell you a few things. Number one is this is a Q&A. This means you get to ask anything you want. I will be doing them. Usually, one of our coaches does Q&A. For the next month, I'm going to do all the Q&A. I just decided that, especially for April, with everything that's going on right now, you guys could for sure use a little bit more queen in your life. I mean, let's be honest, who doesn't? But I am going to make sure that I'm going to be doing all the lives in April. Number two is, this is optional. This is not part of the No BS Weight Loss Program, or it's not part of the No BS Weight Loss course. So if you're on this call right now and you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, you're in the wrong place. So you need to go on over to No BS, go to pnptribe.com, go to the No BS Weight Loss course, click the very first lesson. There are little green dials. So every time you finish a lesson, when you mark it complete, you will know you've already listened to that lesson. So that is your primary focus. If you just joined us, we are closed. So I just want to say congratulations to all of you that got in. We had 1,243 people sign up, which blew my mind out of the water, because this is, like, I would say one of the hardest times ever for somebody to say, I am prioritizing weight loss. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn how to end my emotional eating right now. Like, I'm going to pick one of the times in the world when it's the hardest to end emotional eating, and I'm doubling down, because if I can do it now, guess what I can fucking do? I can do it this summer when the biggest worry I have is traffic. Like, I was just listening to a podcast where one of the things that I've been talking about is, a lot of us, what we're noticing right now is we have like all this new worry, and a lot of it is old worry, but we're just attaching it to the coronavirus. You know, a lot of people worried about money. Guess what? They're worried about money now. Like, now I'm not saying for those of you who lost your job, that's a very different scenario. I'm just talking about, a lot of people think that it's brand new, that they're like, their worries are brand new or more intense right now. And like, a good example is single people. Singles are like, well, I can't go out on dates now. And it's like, they probably had a very similar thought before all this started. They probably were thinking how hard it was to date. A lot of people are, you know, they think that the reason why they're eating so much right now is because it's just so hard to say no to stuff. You had the same thoughts 3 months ago. Like I, it's not that I don't have pity or anything like that. I just want everybody to kind of see is that it's super easy to think that the coronavirus is causing things. The coronavirus is only doing so much in the world. A lot of the mental anguish that we're going through is the thoughts we're attaching to it. Like, the coronavirus is making all of this so much harder. All of this is the stuff that we're thinking attached to it. All of the stuff that we're thinking is the stuff that's making it actually harder. So it's, you know, one of the things that we're not going to get too far off into that today, but we are going to for sure be covering that extensively all month long. One of the things that you will learn while you are here is, we don't blame anything for how we feel. We don't blame anything for how we eat and show up in life. We just take ownership of it. That's it. Because the moment that we start taking ownership of how we feel and how we show up in the world is the moment that we know we have some control, because we can control how we feel. We can control how we show up. We just have to clean up how we're thinking in order to do that. And that is a skill all of us can do. I have been rereading several books right now on people who survived the Holocaust, because I think it's really important to think about, like, what were their mindsets? What were the mindsets of people who, you know, survived, you know, epic, traumatic things that happened in this world? Because it's going to be the same things that are going to help us now. And I've also been reading a lot about how the coronavirus itself, in terms of physically, will not kill as many people as alcoholism, the drug addiction, and the depression that will come out of it, and the obesity. That was the other one. Oh, and people who choose to, for some reason during the coronavirus, start smoking. But it's mainly obesity, depression, alcoholism, and drug addiction. Those four things will kill way more people because of the coronavirus than anything else. That's why it is so important right now that we are managing our minds, that we are thinking and being really clear on our thoughts, so that we're not getting addicted to food and drugs and alcohol and all the stuff. I mean, I watched a TikTok video. I don't know if y'all are on TikTok. I'm on the TikTok. I don't do TikToks, but I love TikTok. And I'm watching the TikTok yesterday as my downtime activity. It just makes me laugh. And there is the hottest men on TikTok. Like you just want some eye candy? Tell TikTok to start sending you all those dancing guys. I'm just like, yeah, let's do that. What's that shirtless guy dancing again? I'm like that 40-year-old cougar. Just like, Chris is always like, what you watching on TikTok? I'm like, men. I'm going to be honest. It's men. Men dancing. Men hip-hopping. Men in uniform. I'm like all of them. I'm just like, let's watch that. Why was I even talking about TikTok? Oh, because there are so many new TikToks of people are just drinking. Like all the jokes around the drinking. And there was a guy who went running in his neighborhood. And he was like, it's recycling day. Let's see how the neighborhood's faring. And he went running through his neighborhood. And he was just giggling and showing all the booze and beer bottles that were getting recycled like crazy. And he was like, hashtag working from home. It was just, I don't know. It was funny, but it's also at the same time, you know, it's one of the things we are all going to have to really watch out for. So y'all don't need to worry because I'm going to have your back. I am like getting with the coaches next week. We have a meeting where we are going to be laying out what are going to be the most important, like we have April done for you guys. What's May going to be? Like, what is it that, I have a feeling that we're going to, I don't want to announce it, but I know that with before the end of June, one program that will for sure get done, and that's going to be Mastering Drinking. We are going to refresh it and redo it and everything because I feel like, you know, when I think about everything that's going on with us in weight loss, one of the things that's going to come up is a lot of us are going to be, you know, planning more wine and doing more wine. And some of us are going to want to like work on that wine, like wine down and stuff. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be one. I keep trying to think about, and you guys feel free to tell us in the comments, they'll read it for me. But to me, the most important things that we could help you guys with is going to be self-love, drinking. Because I know that with self-love, I can redefine the relationship you have with yourself. I can deconstruct every habit you have. Because if you really love yourself and you learn how to love yourself, you do not need to have overeating habits and you do not need to have drinking habits. Doesn't mean that you're not planning good food. It just means that you're not abusing them. You're not using them against yourself. You're not having them at the expense of everything else you want for you. So I think those are important. Probably the only other one that I think is ultra important is really helping you guys understand just at a fundamental level how to use journaling as a way to really gain control over what's going on with your food and stuff. So the No BS teaches you how to eat. It's just not sexy. It's all of the reasons why we aren't doing that is what we have to really work on. And I think some of those will be the ones that that will probably come up for us that will help you guys with the most. But you guys let us know what you need. So, and we will be looking into all of it. Let's see. All right, let's go to questions. Puros. P-U-R-O-A-S-T is the low acid coffee brand. And let's see. Oh, let me go all the way up to the top. The other day, y'all asked me what was my low acid coffee. That's the one that I use. Puros. P-U-R-O-A-S-T. It really helps. Where's my shirt from? This is from The Gap. In fact, you can order it now. They have it in a pink color. They have it in this color. I literally needed some summer stuff. I had like almost no summer clothes. And so we had to order a couple of things for me to be able to wear that are casual so that every day I'm not having to wear sweaters. And it's getting warm here. I have three boys. How do you juggle it all? Planning. It's all about the planning. So, and it's not falling into the idea that you can't plan, that, you know, because I have these three boys, I can't plan. There's a lot you can plan. You can still plan, like have like your food plan and eat that. Like when you have three boys, 5, 3, and 7 months, you need to focus more on what can I control each day? Because what probably happens is like, how do I juggle it all? The first thing I would do if I was you, Kendra or Hannah, is I would make a list of what is all of it. your brain is like probably going from like, you know, purging the house and keeping it extremely tidy to just, you know, wiping asses. I would make a list of what all is. And then I would go through the list and decide, like, what is a realistic expectation and what is my unrealistic expectations of me? Anything that's unrealistic, throw it away. If it's unrealistic, you need to just tell your brain, and we're not thinking about that anymore. We are deliberately not. It doesn't mean that you will like love it, and it doesn't mean that you're going to feel comfortable doing it, but you have to reason with yourself that if it's unrealistic, it is not worth my emotional suffering each day thinking I need to live to this perfect standard, or I need to live to this standard. So that, I'm sorry guys, it is pollen season, and luckily we're not going anywhere, but my nose is itching like wildfire. So that would be like the first thing I would do, is like divide that stuff out. And then the second thing that I would do is so I teach this. I know you're new, but when you have time, which you, like, I'm not saying you have the time right now. I want you focused on your no BS. But you need to make sure your food is planned every day, because if your intention is to lose weight, you have to quit eating because you think the 5, 3, and the 7-month-old and all of that is what causes you to eat. It's like, you can eat this food while figuring all the rest of this out, rather than all of this makes it harder for me to eat this food. That is a really big, that's a really big distinction to make in anyone's brain. One of the things that I would suggest is, when you do have time though, if you will go to the bonus courses, and underneath mastering time, there is a lesson on time blocking. I would suggest you just listen to that one. You don't even have to listen to the rest of it. You literally could listen to that one, because it's going to teach you how to really do a download of everything you need to get done for the day, and then you schedule it. Now, I know with three boys, you know, it may be, your schedule may be like, well, I don't know if I can just schedule it all, Corinne. But you schedule in the most important things during a time when you know you could. And you just start with controlling what you absolutely know you can do. That will give you a sense of controlling some things. And then just remember, you're never meant nobody. Whether you have three boys, I've got people in here with 5 and 6 kids. I got people in here with no kids. None of us are meant to juggle it all. We are supposed to figure out what's important and get focused on it. And the rest of it, we manage our mind on letting it go. That's my best advice. I'm trying to do a TDL about why I overeat when I'm alone. Well, good. Just keep doing it. Just keep asking yourself. The best way to do a TDL is to set a timer for 10 minutes and you don't stop writing. No matter how bad you want to stop writing. And if you sit there and you think, I don't know what to write, then you guess what you write? I don't know what to write. I'm really stuck on this TDL. This is harder than I thought it would be. I should probably get Instacart to send me cat litter. I forgot we were out. Sometimes I overeat because I worry about that cat litter. Whatever it is. A thought download, or a TDL, and that's what we call it, is just a stream of conscious writing. That's it. Just anything that pops into your brain. You just don't take your pen off the paper until it's over with. I just answered you, Regina. I said a TDL, thought download. You will learn that in phase 2 of No BS. And then, Kimberly, I'm going to give you a shortcut why most people eat while they're alone. When you write, say, when I'm alone, here's what I think about me. I just did a call about this. Let's hook her up to the alone call that I did the other day, guys. Whoever's in here, I want that call posted in here. Because most people are eating when they're alone, because if they're left with the conversation, like most of the time they're like, well, I'm alone because, like this lady, she said, because I think I'm a loser. Nobody really wants to be around me and blah, 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 blah. And so like she was just talking, and I said, well, no wonder you don't eat when you're alone. Who would want to be with someone calling themselves a loser? If you have a hard time being alone, It's almost like, guys, I will just tell you, if you have a hard time being alone or you have a hard time not doing things, it's because whatever you think about in those moments when you're not busy or when you're alone, the conversation is ratchet as hell. Like, if the conversation was, you know, I really love myself and you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to take some time to relax and watch a show because, you know, I deserve it. I showed up like a boss all day. You wouldn't want to eat. You'd enjoy spending time with you. But if your conversation is ass, you're not going to enjoy spending time with you. So you're going to need to do something to get away from you. It'd be like saying, you know, I love taking long road trips with this dude who's always saying awful things to me. You would not go on long road trips with those people. That's what you need to be working on. How do you suggest picking a goal weight that is healthy, reasonable, and realistic? I wouldn't pick one that's healthy, reasonable, and realistic. You know what I would do? I would just pick a number. Like, I would literally just pick a number and just say, go. Because you're going to learn so much about you on the way. Whatever number you guys are picking right now, it's not as relevant as you think it is. You could pick, like, I'm just going to focus on my next 10 pounds. I'm going to get really good at losing the next 10 pounds. I feel really great about losing 10 pounds. That's awesome. You could pick, I'm going to, like, I haven't weighed 120 since high school. I'm going to weigh 120 pounds and I'm starting off at 250. And you could be like, this is going to be great because I'm going to learn so much about myself and blah, 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 blah. And if I get down to 140 and I decide that's what I want, great. The number is just to start getting you focused on the future. That's it. It doesn't matter if it's, you don't know. This is the thing, guys. You're not going to know if it's healthy, what was it, healthy, realistic, or reasonable until you start getting started. That's it. I just don't put a lot of, like, pressure on a number. I just pick something, and then I get really focused on what I'm doing each day. That's it. Like, I don't even think about long-term numbers. When I was losing weight, I didn't even pick one, to be honest. I just knew what I wanted to be getting done right then. And I stayed really focused on that. I stayed really focused on what I was talking about. So for a lot of you who, if you're picking a number and it's like you just cannot clean your thoughts up around it and stuff, what I would suggest is like pick a 30-day goal, 1 pound a week. That's always a baseline right there. Some of you are going to be like, that's not enough. Look, bitch, you're here. Let's just... That just because you pick a goal of 4 pounds, 1 pound per week, I don't care if you lose 8. Here's what I want you to do. The next 30 days, I want you not focused on 4 pounds. I want you focused on what the fuck are you doing every single day to lose 4 pounds. Get focused on the things you're doing. The way that you're thinking about yourself each day. Like, we need to get really, we need to be way more interested in, like, all the things that we're going to do to show up for ourselves than on these numbers. If you're really, like, brainstorming and thinking and showing up for yourself each and every day, don't you kind of think the weight loss happens? Weight loss doesn't happen because you grabbed a number out of the sky. Like, I could say right now, gonna lose 10 pounds. Well, look, I don't lose 10 pounds by stating I'm going to lose 10 pounds. You know how I lose 10 pounds? Eating 2 to 2, making a plan every day, and tracking my daily behaviors. Get really focused on the behaviors. What is a good first week, month goal? 4 pounds. Everybody could pick 4 pounds. And then if you lose more, awesome. If you lose 4, awesome. If you lose less, awesome. I don't really care about the amount as much as I want to know, like, tell me the things you did this month. What did you learn about yourself this month? Hey, what are we going to do different next month? How are we going to level up a little bit? Like, what are the things that you really enjoyed that you want to keep doing? And what are the things that you noticed that are like, okay, I got really good at that. I think I could even do more. Like, that's the mindset that I'm really going to be focusing with all of you guys on this next month. That was my mindset. I didn't think near as much about the scale, and I didn't think a lot about numbers or anything like that. I was so focused on like evaluating how I showed up for myself each day, evaluating how I thought about myself each day, trying to identify any time that I noticed that I was thinking something that felt bad, and trying to figure out how am I going to think about this different, because I know me. If I spend a lot of time thinking shit that makes me feel bad, I'm going to spend more time eating. So it was a natural conclusion to me that if I would like to eat, like overeat less, I was going to have to overthink negative shit less. And that was not going to just happen because I had made a decision to not think less or because I was aware of it. It was happening because every single time that I would notice when I was feeling bad, I would figure out what the hell was I thinking. And how could I think differently? I never wished away my thoughts. It was a waste of time. It was a complete waste of time to wish away negative thinking. I'd rather spend that time, rather than wishing away negative thinking, I'd rather spend that time changing how I'm thinking. Do that. I'm hoping one of my coaches who's here heard that. She knows who she is. Where and how do you walk the line between not beating yourself up from an overeat, but also learning from it? When we learn from it, we're not beating ourselves up. Beating ourselves up says, you're a loser. You'll never get this. You should do better. It's punitive and demeaning. That will create the feeling of shame. When you are in shame, you are going to try to do anything and everything to get out of shame, which means restrict food, overeat to get out of shame. You will do behaviors around food that will jack future weight loss. What you really want to do is you want to say like, all right, I just had an overeat. That's not something I want to repeat in the future over and over and over again. So now's the time to start figuring out ways to solve this. We can like literally go and solve things without having to beat ourselves up over it. That you can just skip that step. I've been having overeats on cookies, not beating myself up, but also maybe not taking them seriously to learn from them. You need to take them seriously. You need to tell yourself, I don't believe that overeating cookies is helping me. So if it's not going to help me lose weight, what I really need to do is figure out, why am I choosing cookies? In that moment when I'm eating cookies, what am I not willing to feel in the moment? What feelings am I not willing to sit with? And why? How am I going to sit with those feelings? I will tell you, last night is so funny. So I had a monster urge last night. I would never describe things usually as a monster urge, but I'm going to like let y'all have it. It was a monster urge. We'll put that one in the C line. C line is a circumstance line for all my newbies. You will learn that in the phase two. So we get done working yesterday and I eat dinner. The boys ordered hamburgers. I didn't order hamburgers. We ate some dinner. And so let me just tell you how the day went. So yesterday, I didn't eat on plan. I ate the last day of the launch. And so I was doing some calls and whatnot. So I ate my breakfast at noon. And so I ended up having my lunch at noon versus what I would normally eat for breakfast. I was like, well, that's fine. I'm not going to worry about that. And then at about 3:30, I had went on a walk with Logan. And I don't remember if it was before or after. But anyway, I had planned a Halo Top for yesterday. And I was like, no, I want it now. So I went ahead and had it. And I told myself in the moment, I was like, bitch, you are going to regret this. I had just know it. You were going to want that Halo Top later. You had been looking forward to your Halo Top. All the things. And I was like, no, I'm okay with it. It'll be fine. I'm already moving shit around on my plan, justifying all of it. Then it came dinner time and I had my salad. So I was okay. Well, then I wanted my Halo Top. We were watching 24. And I literally laid there through 24, I think for an hour and a half. And I probably told myself I wasn't having another Halo Top. And I wasn't going to have the other 30 different things that I was trying to convince myself we could just eat. I know I had to have said it at least 150 times. I mean, it just felt like it was every minute on the minute. And so we would sit there and I would just be like, you know, you could probably just go get you some peanut butter. Peanut butter would be okay. And I'm like, no, we're not eating. And then like something else would come up and something else would come up and something else would come up. And I literally just remember saying, I'm not arguing with myself, but I'm just going to let myself think about this. And I'm going to remind myself in the morning, I will be just fine. And that I can be uncomfortable right now. And I remember telling myself, the only reason why it's uncomfortable is because you keep having to push the thought away. And that's it. That's literally the only thing that's uncomfortable right now, is having the thought, experiencing the want, and then needing to push the thought away, needing to refocus on this. And I did it over and over and over and over and over and over again until I finally went to sleep. Guys, I wouldn't say it wasn't like horrible. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't terrible because what I was doing was I didn't sit there and like try to tell myself things like, you know, this is bullshit. I wish I just, you know, I had a long day. The last thing I need is to be thinking this. Like, I didn't go down that road. And I made sure not to go down that road. I made sure that whatever I was telling myself about my urge was like very conscious and deliberate. And I will promise you, I wanted to argue with myself. I wanted to be punitive. I wanted to like do all of the bullshitty stuff in my head. But I know that that only sets me up to actually eat. I know that when I'm allowing that talk, that I am going to give in to it. Like I have watched myself so many times overeat that I know that when I start having those thoughts of like, you know, this is crap, we can start over tomorrow, you're, you know, like, you know, when will these things ever stop? You know, like, God damn it, you're 15 years in. Can you believe you're still doing this? Like, whenever I have that stream of thought, I know what's happening is I'm just amping myself up. And so when the thoughts come in, like, guys, I have to literally tell myself, think this. Like, I just take a deep breath and say, all right, what do I want to think about this one? What do I want to think about this one? What do I want to think about this one? It's mentally tiring. But it's a different type of tiring. There's a level of exhaustion that is experienced from beating yourself down that really, it just feels like you've been tied, as my mom loves that song, Tied to the Whipping Post. You feel like you've been tied to the whipping post. And then there's this one where you're like tired because you know you're really trying to help your brain make sense of things. You're really keeping your goal in mind. You're really keeping your, like, how you want to feel the next day. Like, I probably told myself 1,000 times, you're going to want to wake up in the morning and think, I'm glad you didn't eat last night. And I swear to God, this morning I got up. And I'm always cloudy-headed when I first get up. I went to the bathroom and I was peeing. And all of a sudden I was like, I am so glad I didn't eat last night. And so I wrote about that this morning in my journal. I reminded myself of how glad I was, of how I showed up for myself and what worked. And so I went through and solidified it. I allowed my brain to get the dopamine hit from pride and satisfaction that I showed up for myself so that it can remember it in the future when the next set of urges come along for the ride. So I tell you all this stuff so that you guys know that, like, I am not perfect, but I have been able to not only lose 100 pounds, but keep 100 pounds off because I'm not trying to be perfect. I don't expect that, and you don't need to expect it either. It is all like a journey of just discovering different ways to handle things, different ways to handle things. And there is a peace that comes with that. All right. I don't like to write. I use an online journal that I type in. Penzu. Is there an online fillable planner, or will I have to just type my own in Freestyle? Regina, if you will go to the main Facebook group and search Digital Divas, hashtag Digital Divas, I don't know about all that stuff, but there are people who use our planner in a digital format. They use GoodNotes. I'm sure there's a Penzu user somewhere out there. They can help you with all that stuff. I am on day 22 of mandatory isolation. Girl, I'm feeling you. We're on some kind of, like, this state right now where they like arrested somebody in a park or something. I don't even know what. I was like watching the news. I was like, what happened this morning? So, yeah. And despite having a full pantry or freezer, I am tired of planning every fucking meal. Okay, let's put it this way. This is not because of isolation. You do know you're going to plan every fucking meal for the rest of your life. We're going to have to clean up our thoughts around that one. I plan my food today. That's what we teach here. We're going to be planning our food. The only reason why, like, planning food and you feel tired is because of your thoughts around it. Here's my thoughts around planning food. Shit keeps this ass right and tight. I don't get tired of it. Let's see what else you had to say. Still writing plans and assessing and working the four basics. As I'm writing in my planner today, I just want to scribble on page because I'm so frustrated, and I'm guessing it's the whole situation and not my plan itself. It ain't the plan. You need to find out, like, you're, like, the planning is probably triggering thoughts about you in isolation. You're calling it mandatory isolation. Okay, so let me just talk about this for a second. A lot of you cannot talk about it that way. I don't talk about it that way. You know why? And you'll say, like, but it's true. Like, my state said this. Rah, rah, rah. I get it. But how we think about it is really important. And if you thinking you're in mandatory isolation feels trapped, you can't spend the rest of this thinking that you're in mandatory isolation. There are other ways to think about it. Like, I don't even know what the fuck the state's calling it, because it seemed so awful that I didn't want to think about it like that. You know what I tell myself? We're here doing everything we can to be our healthiest, best, like, whatever I need to tell myself to feel like we're being productive. Like I wouldn't even call it mandatory. You know, let's be honest. If you want to go get in your car and drive around right now, you probably can do that. You might get arrested. Some of us wouldn't. I mean, I drove the other day just to drive. I literally went, got in the car, turned on music, and drove down the road with the windows open. Like, some of us, what we have to think about is how we're describing our situation right now. And we're describing it in a very trapped way. And so then when you're putting in even more structure, like your plan, it's like, it's just one more thing that, you know, my freedoms are taken away. I'm like having to sit here and eat on this plan too. Like, that is one of the things that we have to think about. So, like, and for some of you, like, safe at home and stuff works. And for some of us, it just doesn't. Like, I just don't think about it like that. I just think, here I am at home. What can I be doing to better my life? I mean, you don't have to think about all of the magnitude of it if you don't want to. Me sitting around thinking about, like, the coronavirus, it's not going to fix the coronavirus. Me sitting around at home, though, like, if I'm thinking about, like, myself staying at home and how it's helping mankind and doing all that kind of stuff brings me peace, that's exactly what I want to think about, because it's going to bring me peace. It's going to, like, allow me to do the things that I need to do to keep me and my family safe and all the other stuff. But let me tell you the other side. For some of us, it's not working. Thinking about mankind and doing the right thing and all that other kind of stuff is like, yeah, I get it. But my brain just wants to focus on everything that's been taken away from me. Those people, those are the thoughts that just won't work for them. And that's okay. What we want to do is we want to have a collection of thoughts for you that's going to work for you being at home. But the first thing you have to do is you have to figure out which ones aren't working. So like if thinking that you're in mandatory isolation is one of the things that's like setting you up to just focus on everything that you can't do and blah, 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 find all those thoughts, then let's take a real honest look at those and then decide how do you want to be thinking about when you're at home. I literally spend most of my time at home thinking about this is such an amazing opportunity for me to like let Logan explore homeschooling. That was like one of the first things when they told us about online school. Like Chris and I didn't go to the Duder because we couldn't work all day long and Logan was going to be home. I was like, all right, well, now, like we always wondered what it would be like to homeschool Logan. We're going to figure that out. When I sit around at my house, I think about like, you know, because we can't go on date nights. One of the things that I was actually talking to somebody about yesterday, I think I was talking to Kathy. I have actually worked harder at connecting to Chris, and we actually work from home. But I have worked harder at it because we can't go out to our normal places to go on date night. It is like we have just doubled down on focusing. How are we going to be more connected? How are we going to come up with new ways? Like, I just went to work on all this stuff. Like, how am I bettering my marriage? How am I being a better mom? What are, like, and I will say this. I don't feel ashamed that it took this to do it. But if this all is going to happen, I'm going to practice some gratitude for what I can. Because if I can practice some gratitude, I get to feel better. I get to be at the effect of it. And when I feel good and I feel better, I tend to do better in the world for other people. And for people who are having to work the front lines and stuff, me sitting around and hurting doesn't make them feel better. Me sitting around feeling good also doesn't hurt them. Understanding that you got to like figure out how to keep your mental health intact and allow it to grow through this, it's going to serve at a big level in all kinds of ways. Especially parents. Your kids need to see you seeing this, like being just okay. Here's how we're going to handle it. You get to have all your emotions, but I keep saying this. And you're all women, so I can just call you moms. For my moms, let's make sure that our children see us use this as an opportunity to feel our feelings honestly and to not eat through them. You know, when I sit and I think about what are going to be like all the unintended consequences and byproducts of this, for some young girls, this is where their eating disorders will start. They will not feel like it's okay to be upset about this, and they will eat their way through it because their mom is eating through it and not showing that it's like showing her own, like, these are the things that I'm worried about. The unintended byproducts will be children who will see their moms finally figure out how to not eat through something, maybe try fitness for the first time ever and override their shame and their thoughts that they can't exercise and do stuff. Some of us will come out of this healthier. My goal is to help and navigate all of you and lead you to that version of you. The people who chose not to be here, they're out there with everybody else who's coping with wine and alcohol, the news, and worry. I mean, I'm all for us watching some news and keeping updated and stuff, but we have to be able to manage our mind around it. It's no different than any other time in history. We all have to just remember we weren't guaranteed certainty. We weren't guaranteed a certain life. The only thing we were ever guaranteed is that we were going to be presented a life that we needed to figure out
how to do our best in it. That's it. I joined last week. I watched the jump start and ordered the journal. Awesome. The first day since then, I've done jack shit. How do I get on it? I would go back and watch the jump start again. Pull out, like, now that you've ordered your planner, like, get off this Q&A. Go watch the weight loss quick start one more time. You can probably skip the one that teaches you how to install the private member podcast. Watch the lessons one more time. Get your planner out and make your first day's plan. That is exactly how you get started. And then when you're done with those videos, you move straight to no BS. Like, everybody always wants to ask me, like, well, how do I get started? Like, guys, it's literally like this. You're going to have to get your pad out, a pen, and you're going to have to override the bullshit that you don't want to do it. Your first plan has to be realistic. You're probably not starting because you think that you're going to have to go on a diet now. The only thing I told you to do in that first few videos is to plan exactly what it is you normally eat. And then if you ain't hungry, don't start eating until you are. That's literally about the only things I asked you to do in those first videos. So whatever you ate yesterday or whatever you think you're going to want to eat today, if that is pizza, meat lovers, 30 slices, put that shit on your plan. Time to get conscious. No more just sitting around going, I hope I lose weight. The only way anybody loses weight by putting down what they're going to eat on the paper and getting started with it. I've lost 26 pounds. I've significantly reduced my portion sizes and I'm finding my new plus two. I write plans and assess every day. For several months, though, I feel like I'm eating in maintenance. What are some steps I can do to get to the next 25? I feel like I'm eating in maintenance. You won't know you're eating in maintenance until you're not losing weight. So I couldn't tell Cynthia if you've stopped losing weight. You'll have to tell me, are you losing weight? I can't tell. Have any of you pros ever took an absence and came back? I was on a slippery slope and getting back after about 5 days off plans, all the stuff. Starting with 24-hour plans again, and this is the first time I didn't let it all go. I'm feeling like I'm grabbing on a tree branch, falling off a cliff. You're not, like, that's a very dramatic way of saying, let me read it one way and then let me read it the other way, Jennifer. This will be really good for everyone. Have any of you pros ever took an absence and come back? I was on a slippery slope and getting back after about 5 days off. Like, 5 days. Marco Polo and stuff, y'all. Like, it was whole 5 days. Starting with the 24-hour plans. And again, this is the first time I didn't just let it all go. I'm feeling like I'm grabbing on a tree branch and falling off of a cliff, no less. Need to make this not as big of a deal. I tell you what, if you want to not make it a big deal, quit describing it like an asshole to yourself. Here's how I would write it. I haven't planned for 5 days and I didn't check in with my Marco Polo group. I started my 24-hour plans again. I haven't ever done that before. What y'all think? Do you notice how less boring my version is? Do you also notice how my version sounds pretty good? Like, if I came in here and was like, oh, yo, you know what I realized? For like 5 days, I didn't make my plans. I didn't check in with Jane. But I got started back again today. You would all be like, good job, Corinne. Guys, why you lead us? Because you know how to get back on track. Like, y'all would be like, preach and all stuff. That's what I need you to do for you. Like, you gotta be your Baptist church. You gotta be like raising the roof for you because you got back at it. Not like, oh my God, slippery slopes and cliffs and there's a tree branch and I'm like that guy. There's some cartoon that Logan used to watch where he's always barely hanging on. That is not what you're doing.
just go back and be like, okay, why did I not do it for 5 days? I'm really curious. So if it ever happens again, I'll know exactly what to look for. It won't surprise me next time because I will have already done all the work. Hopefully that helps. Working on the hunger scale, I had my dinner around 6, ate satisfied, and then 2 hours later, I felt hungry. I drank water and asked myself if scrambled eggs sounded good or protein. After an hour, the answer was yes. So I ate the second taco I hadn't eaten earlier and felt fine. Does this mean I stopped too early at dinner? It could be. If you're, especially if you're new, Elaine, it's going to take a little playing around with. So what I would suggest is just kind of noting that. And like one of the reasons why we always just have you stop and then you get to keep your food is so that if for some reason like that you get hungry, the worst that ever happens is you just finish it later if hunger comes. So track it. And note, like, what I would do is, like, go back and, like, what did I think was my 2? It probably wasn't. So I'm going to eat a little bit more than that just to see if that's enough to hold me off. Working on my hunger scale, I had my dinner around 6, ate to satisfy, and then 2 hours later, I felt hungry. I drank water and asked myself if... Oh, I just read that one. I'm sorry. Oh, it got in there twice. What book or resource helped you with the mental BS and negative thinking? My thoughts start small and then they grow into the worst case scenario. I actually went and got certified at the Life Coach School. That's what's really helped me the most. When I was doing it, when I was you guys back in the day, I figured it out on my own. I mean, that, like, literally, I think that's why I feel so tied to you guys and why I, like, really understand what you go through is because, like, I remember me doing that work. And then when I went to the Life Coach School is when I figured out, oh my God, this is what I was doing the whole time. I just didn't know it. It kind of, like, I learned the model then. So I teach all of this stuff inside of here. So as you are listening through the No BS, as you're doing all this stuff, I've basically taken what the world, you know, has out there. It's all in here. Now, if you want to really work on your negative thinking, Deborah, one of the things that you can do is you can... So this is not for the people that overwhelm easy, but I have a lot of you. I would say half of you are like, I'm here because I overwhelm easy, so I need to take it step by step. And some of you are like, I am here because I'm naked and ready to cannonball into the pool of all things Corinne. So if you are ready to do the cannonball... I want you to think about possibly while you're listening to No BS, also doing the self-love course. You can listen to the lessons, but do the prompts every day. So the lessons won't take long to listen to, but every single day while you're going through your No BS, you could do the daily self-love prompts. Most people have found, especially if they have a lot of negative thinking, they have to do it at least twice. So they do the prompts the first round and then they do the prompts a second time. But that will give you some structure to your daily prompts. So you will be able to just use those. So rather than having to do the little blue box in your planner where the thought download is, we allow you guys to just write what you want there. The self-love course actually has 30 days of prompts. So you could just take those, write them down the next 60 days so that every single day in your planner, you know exactly what you're going to do as a prompt for self-love. I'm a newbie and I'm creating a plan of what I'm going to do if I get tripped up. But in the moment, I forget all about that. How do I help myself remember these things in the moment when my brain is hyper-focused on doing what it wants? That's going to just take time. So what I would do is I would also, like, I love that you're already coming up with a plan of, like, here are the obstacles I'm likely to experience, and here's what I want to do. Make sure that your plan, though, for what you want to do, this is the key. I actually coach a lot on this. A lot of times we'll say, like, when I have an urge, I'm going to journal. Like, I'm going to, like, dig in and find out what's going on. And then I'll say, like, that never happens. And I'll say, well, go back to the last time you had an urge when you really wanted to overeat. Did journaling feel like it would be helpful in the moment, or did it seem like it would be full of bullshit? And you're like, full of bullshit. And I was like, okay, then that's not a tool you're ready for yet. So what we need to do is we need to think about what would I do in that moment. So go back and think about, like, go through all of your stuff. You may have a lot of really good strategies that are going to be great for you in 3 months from now. But what are your strategies now? Like, what is the one thing you can think, the person you could reach out to, the one thing you could do that's a little different? Come up with some of those. I stopped drinking 12 days ago when I'm having sugar cravings at happy hour. Yeah, that happens. I've gone off plan the last 4 days with ice cream or something at that time, so I leveled up by now getting yogurt bars to plan at the time. I like my reason, but feel like it's a level down in my food plan to add snacks, but I'm guessing drinking was basically a sugar bomb too. It's not even so much, Laura, about the sugar. Here's what's really happening. Your brain is not looking for sugar. What drinking was doing was taking your mind off something. And now eating is taking your mind off something. And now a yogurt bar is taking my mind off something. I like that you're leveling up, but what you're not addressing is what is it that you're really wanting in the moment. If it's not food, what are you really needing in that moment, or what are you not willing to feel in that moment? What's going on? Why were you planning the wine to begin with? Like, so think about that, because that's what we want to solve. What was the initial trigger to begin with? Sometimes I have a feeling that I resist feeling as I'm either judging it as this is bad, or I'm scared and the resistance feels very intense. How can you work around that so you can feel the feeling instead of eating as it seems very urgent and automatic and I have to escape it as soon as I can? You need to find out why you need to escape it. Like, it's the thoughts you have about your feelings. So, Permi, you've been around a long time. What I would do, whatever feelings that you're having, you need to figure out your judgments around those, and you need to clean that up. Those are the models you need to be running. So, all newbies, all people who don't run models, please mute me for the next, like, 30 seconds. Permi, what I want you to do is I want you to do some models where your urge, whatever feeling you don't like, all of that stuff, I want those in the C line, because then that's going to make you do a thought download about those feelings. You're going to figure out, I have thoughts about these. Like, I can't take them. They're too urgent. They do this. They do that. Like, you need to figure out all that. You've got a layer of junk going on right there that doesn't allow you to process. Do models on your layers of junk so you can see how that is what's actually triggering the needing to get away and stuff. Now all newbies and everybody can come back. I spend a lot more than 2 minutes making my 24-hour plan, then way more than 5 minutes assessing it, then all the other things I don't write and think that fast and find myself taking at least an hour, maybe more. Any ideas on that? Set a timer. Like, set a timer. Do not give yourself, like, I find myself. No. There's no finding ourselves taking longer. There's sitting there and allowing ourselves to think too much about it. Like, I might be wrong. I might want this. I might want that. Like, all that gets cut out. If all of that stuff goes away, how long is it going to take? Like, what I would do is I would sit down and I would make a list of my favorite foods, my favorite breakfasts, my favorite lunches, my favorite dinners. And then each day, grab the list and put those on your plan. Make it faster for yourself. Most of the time when people are taking a long time making their 24-hour plan, it's because they're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to want this, and I'm not sure because somebody might have this, and what if I have an urge, and what if I do all this other stuff? Just make the plan and then see what actually comes up. You guys quit trying to disaster plan your 24-hour plan. Make a plan. Eat the plan. If you want something else and you eat off plan, learn from it so the next plans get better. But don't sit there and make making the initial plans so torturous and so long and wrought with perfectionism and overthinking that you get a bad taste in your mouth for them. All of you, whether you've been with me since 2007 to 2020 as of last night, you are going to eat off plan. If I did yesterday, I know some of you are going to be doing it too. More often than you plan to. More often than you think. But all I want you guys doing right now is making plans, assessing, evaluating, and tweaking. If you do that, the weight comes off.
if you spiral out and that you got to be a perfectionist and that the only way you're ever going to lose weight is to be perfect and blah, 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 you're not going to lose weight. No, yeah, Shauna says, trying to disaster plan can be a disaster in itself. Yes. Now, if you're sitting there for an hour a day, Barbara, and you're loving it, like me, I can sit and plan for like an hour and a half every single day, and I'm like, woo, and then I'm so productive all day, and I do all the things. That's great. But if you're not enjoying it, please, guys, don't bastardize it from the beginning. Just be like, you know what? There's no right or wrong. I'm going to plan this, and every single day I'll learn a little bit about myself as I go along. It's all we need to think about. I hear you talk about phases. Are the phases different modules, or do you finish all of the first? All right, so when you go to over to No BS, it will say phase one, losing weight. Phase two, thinking thin. So like phase one has lessons in it. And then once you complete the losing weight phase, you will move to the phase two lessons. But they're like when you go, like just go on over to pnptribe.com, go to the No BS. And before you click play on anything, just scroll down the page and just kind of read the outline. It's kind of like a table of contents, honestly. Like you'll have a table of contents for the entire program so you can see what all's coming, what all you're going to learn and everything. So phase one are lessons all around losing weight. Phase two are all around thinking thin. Phase three is all around overcoming the overeating. Before you guys can get to phase three, you have to learn how to think about overeats. And before you can do that, you have to set yourself up with plans and hunger scale and stuff to identify what overeats you're going to be having. So the way I like to do it is I always think of like phase one is to teach you the basics of how to lose weight that sets you up to be able to identify all the things that you're thinking and all the ways that you're overeating. Phase two allows you to start cleaning up the thinking so that you're not beating yourself up over it, so that you're prepared for phase three where we start really diving into the overeats and how to overcome them and strategies to try. You can't overcome an overeat though if you're not thinking positively, if you're not thinking in a way that motivates you. Okay? Is journaling in addition to the daily 24-hour plan and assessment? I consider that all journaling. So when you open up your planner, you have your page that has where you're going to make your plan and stuff, and then the facing page has questions. To me, that's journaling. We just call it journaling or planning. All of that is the same to me. It's a good question. Do you still do a model when you're feeling good? I love doing models when I'm feeling good because I like to see which thoughts are working for me. Ideas for getting looser with my food coming from rigid, measured food plans. Just start slowly adding a few things that feel a little loose to you. Add them in one at a time so that you're not overwhelming yourself with stuff. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to add in so much that you feel out of control. So for now, what I would do is I would just do like one little, like if you hadn't been eating bread in forever, a couple days a week, have a sandwich. Start with little things like that and build up the confidence that you can do this. Does weight loss slow gradually as you lose or make big jumps? Like was 2 per week and then bam, 0.4 last 4 weeks seemed extreme. Sometimes it's just like your body is just auto-correcting down. Like if you were, like if 2 was going to be a fast pace for you, then it's going to go back down to about 0.4. If you haven't changed, just make sure you haven't changed anything else. Are you grab-assing? Grab-assing means are you taking little nibbles? Are you like really fine-tuned? Make sure you're not getting loosey-goosey on your hunger scale and that kind of stuff. Okay, I'm going to answer one or two more, and then we're going to get out of here as we've already been going over an hour. If I didn't get your question answered, all you got to do, guys, is populate it into the Facebook group, and then we will make sure that questions get answered there. And then I will be tomorrow on a coaching call, so if you want to bring some of these tomorrow, it's at noon Central Time. I will be live coaching tomorrow, and then I will answer a few questions then too. Let me find something. How will I use the 24-hour plan when I'm not the cook in my household and I never know ahead of time what the roommate will be cooking? Well, there's two things you could do. You could ask the cook, what you gonna be cooking? I'm doing this new thing now where I'm like writing my food down ahead of time. I'm just curious. Do you know what's gonna be on the plan?
And if you can't get an answer and they're like, no, you know what, Regina? F you. I'm never telling you. Sometimes they'll actually just tell you the things that you want to know. But if they're a no and they don't know, then what I would do is I would just say, okay, so can I give you some suggestions as to things that I would love? And then I will just make sure that, like, I know that those are the things that are happening this week. And then option three is always, I know that I will only eat the other person's food when I'm hungry, and I will always stop when I'm satisfied. And there are certain things that I know that they cook, and when they cook on those days, I won't eat them. Or, if they always make bread or something with it, I won't have that part if I really want to have cheese and other stuff, like just doing some kind of trade. I drink 64 ounces of water, but I use a supplement with it that has aminos. That's fine. My family is in overwhelm. How can I support my family and not get into the stress, overwhelm myself? Your whole family can be overwhelmed, and they will, like, your family's overwhelm, their feelings, their thoughts, their all their stuff are now circumstances in your life, Jill. They can't make you, you can't get stressed and overwhelmed from someone. It's not like the cooties. You don't catch it. So all of us need to remember other people's feelings and stuff aren't cooties. What we can do is remember we always have thoughts about it. So if you're thinking they stress and overwhelm me out, you need to ask yourself, what am I thinking that's causing the stress and overwhelm? I won't have to worry. I don't care if it was, Regina, I was just using Brett as an example. But let's say your friend's doing keto, and every night they're making, let's say that you're eating, you're not doing keto during the day, but at night they're making, I don't know, meat slathered in cheese with oil poured all over the top and a hunk of egg. I don't know, like whatever a keto person would be eating. And you're like, well, that's a little rich for my blood. Or they're making keto bombs. What are those, like, bastardized desserts keto people like to make? They're like, oh, no, I don't have a sugar problem. I just eat keto bombs like it's nobody's business. I don't know why I'm not losing weight. Just make sure that you're being, like, smart with all that, okay? But, Jill, like, you can't catch somebody else's feelings. You have thoughts about that stuff. You need to figure out what are your thoughts about them. The best way to support your family is to lead the way. Don't sit there and be like, well, they're all stressed out and overwhelmed. How can I support them? Let me just jump in with them and act like an asshole. No, it's like, you don't have to tell people how to think, but you can show people through example, you navigating yourself through this like a boss. One more. I can't seem to kick the keto mind frame every time I plan or figure out what to eat. How do I get rid of this? I try to limit my carbs a bit because I know it's a better choice. This is the thing. If you think lowering your carbs is a better choice, it will be hard to kick the keto mindset. I don't know if carbs are a great option for you or not, but you need to like really like your reasoning behind it. I know it's a better choice, but I always find myself asking, is this keto? I'm trying to do this the realistic way and not temporary keto where I gain it back. Then you need to quit telling yourself. If the only thing that happens when you do keto is that you temporarily lose weight by getting rid of carbs and you gain it back afterward, it's not working. Sue, or somebody tag Heidi, you have to quit telling yourself that that works. That it's better for you. I try to limit my carbs because I know it's a better choice. It doesn't sound like it's a better choice. You know what it sounds like? You don't have a good relationship with carbs. It sounds like that you know how to restrict them, and then when you add them back in, you eat like an asshole. You haven't learned how to actually like have a relationship with them. So the first thing is to quit telling yourself, I know it's better. Why? Why is it better? Go through. Because if it's legit better for you, like I don't have explosive diarrhea when I don't eat carbs and, You know, I'm not doubled over in stomach cramps when I don't eat carbs. Like, if all of that's happening, I'd be like, yeah, I could see. You would have no problem with motivation. Let me tell you how I know. So my niece, she cannot have gluten or dairy. She has to eat a lower carb diet. You know why? When the child eats any gluten or dairy, she literally shits her pants within about 20 minutes. Try going to a prom or sitting through high school or doing something like that and having explosive diarrhea. She's highly motivated to cut the shit out. She has no problems with it. She can easily say, I do better when I cut the carbs down. A lot of us think that we do better because, well, when I cut out carbs, I temporarily lose some weight. If it's not staying off, you cannot give it any credit. It's like, how do you want to lose weight? That's the decision. And then when you want to sit there and be like, is it keto? You tell yourself, it doesn't matter if it's keto or not. Keto makes me fat. You know how I know? Because every time I go off keto, I gain weight. That's the real truth. And you're going to have to tell yourself that. You're going to have to rewire that discussion that's going on in your head about it. Okay, guys, that's it. Y'all have a good one. I will see you tomorrow at noon. This will be in the replay. This actual call will not go into replay until, well, I don't know. Betsy is on here. Maybe one of my coaches is here. Somebody, if we're going to get this one up today, that'd be awesome. If not, Amanda's off on the weekends. She normally loads on Monday. So we'll get it up. We'll just get it up. I'll make somebody do it today. Happy Saturday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.